Jesus said, look here, don't simply talk. Don't simply speak. Because you may be speaking against the Holy Ghost and prevent Him from working for you, but instead become an enemy to the Holy Ghost. So let's look at the book of Hebrews. In chapter 3 and in verse 7, it talks about the Holy Ghost. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I saw in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This incident points back to the time at the beginning of the 40 years and all through the 40 years. If you analyze the book of Numbers and see the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness, you notice something. It began with a wrong confession. And throughout their 40 years, there were several incidences recorded. And in every one of those incidences, there was a wrong confession. They either said something against Moses or something against Aaron, or they said something against God, or they were just plain, like Numbers 11, murmuring. They were just saying some things that were wrong. And the whole judgment of the 40 years was based on one principle, only one. They receive what they say. I'm not making this up. Look at the book of Numbers. And God said to them, verse 28, the whole 40 years was based on that one principle. Numbers 14, verse 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. It was based on what they say. It's a very awesome thought to look at that verse in that manner. That is all based on what they said. So here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, when it says about faith speaks, there are three realms: angelic realm, demonic realm, and God's realm. It's governed by the power of spoken words. Faith speaks. Everyone say, faith speaks. Now from chapter 4, right on to chapter 10, we see a different aspect. It was introduced a little bit in chapter 3. Faith rest. Faith rest. When faith has spoken and keeps on speaking, a rest must also be there. Because the rest shows for the solidness of what you have spoken in the first place. Some people say, but they say it out of fear. And you know it because it doesn't last. There's no rest in their words. They haven't entered into that rest that is necessary. Faith is a rest. And unless we are at rest, we will be anxious, we will be fearful, we will do everything that shows forth doubt, and God cannot hear. There is something about faith resting that many people think what they have is faith. It's not really faith unless your faith has a quality of rest. A lot of what people say, oh, that person, he has great faith and he died. Or she has great faith and she died and this happened. And they look at what they mean by faith. They only judge one aspect. There must be a full quality to that faith. Faith is not just mental assent. It goes deeper than that. There is a quality of deep inner peace and rest, where you know that you know that you know it is sealed in heaven's court. There's completely no anxiety. There's completely no doubt. Faith is a rest. If it's true faith, see, the book of Hebrews brings forward is true faith. The true faith will speak. Now there can be mental assent that speak, but it will not have the other qualities. It must have all these four qualities before its true faith. There is a rest involved. Now how does that rest take place, and how does it, what are the areas about that rest? In chapter 4 and chapter 5, that rest is produced by the 3 points that we have for you. Just like 3 points for the first section. Faith speaks because it works in the realm of angels, the realm of the devil and demons, and the realm of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Faith rests. When faith rests, there are three qualities within that rest. There are three other sub-points within that rest. Number one, that rest comes because only the book of Hebrews tells us how to rest. Because number one, okay, like you keep number eight, right? Point one is faith speaks, point two is faith rest. Faith rests because of the first reason, the power of the word and the power of prayer has worked in a person's life. The word has entered so deep into a person that the soul and the spirit of that person has been separated. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks about the power of the word. See, the context, although it looks as if it's a statement suddenly out of the blue, but the context of what Paul is talking about is entering into rest. And he's still on the subject. But he's not talking about an external rest as he illustrates that Joshua brought the Israelites in. He's talking about a spiritual rest that God's people need to enter. And in verse 12, he says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word enters into our life so that our soul is quiet and subdued. The soul is no more like raging waters and a raging storm. There is a stillness in the soul. When someone says they have faith, I don't just listen to their words. I listen for their soul. And sometimes out in their mouth, they got mental assent. They said, "I believe, I believe, I believe, no brother, I really believe." But my inner ear is listening for something else. And as I hear the person say, "I believe, I believe," I could hear behind his voice, "Chong, chong, chong, chikapong." The soul is having a storm on the inside. And it's raining cats and dogs on your inside. And I know this person doesn't really have faith yet. He has only mental conviction. Because the word has not entered into a person's soul and a person's spirit and keep them at rest. Then, in chapter 5, you enter into the rest that comes in prayer. Where you know you have plead your case before God and you rest it in God's hand. Like Jesus in His prayer life and ministry, you have cried every tear, you have groaned every pain, you have done everything in the natural, and you have touched God. There is a quietness that enters into you. Your case is rested in God. See, sometimes a person say, I have faith. But when you listen carefully, they haven't prayed through yet. There's something about that area in their life that they say they have faith for, that when you hear them talk about it, you know that there's something just not right. They haven't prayed through yet. In the first place, a part of them. You see, faith is the totality of our being, spirit, soul and body, uniting in one objective that must be of God. And sometimes when you hear some people's life, you hear and you know that a part of them on the inside is disagreeing with the part of them on the outside that they are saying they believe. And as long as they have a dual nature like that, they will never be able to have the faith that overcomes the world. They'll be like the man who came to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 and say, Lord, I believe, help down my unbelief. There's still a part in his inside with unbelief, but there's a part of him that believes. You cannot have something from God in that way. You cannot have one part of you believing and one part disbelieving. Although some people still get it, but it's not what they got was not based on faith. He said, but why did God hear their prayers or answer them? Because they got it not based on faith, they got it based on mercy. And it is possible as long as we are at that level where we are like children in God's sight in those areas. But one day God expects us to grow up. And we will come begging again like a little puppy. And God says, where is your faith? And we'll find that God is not going to do the thing for us that He did before. Why doesn't God do it? He doesn't want us to walk around with nappies when we're 21. So God doesn't do it. There are some things we put up with for little children. I mean, when they eat, they mess the food about. One third of the food gets on the floor. One third gets on the table. One third gets into their stomach. And we look at that little baby and we say, so cute. But if you go to a hawker center and you see a grown-up man eating his wonton mee or Singapore duck rice, and one third of the duck is on the floor, one third spread all over the table, and one third is solid, nobody will come and look at the grown man and say, so cute. Everybody will say, what kind of man is that? For that reason, God wants us to grow up on the inside. He wants us to be stretched in prayer. And when we approach God in those areas, now, understand that when we begin the walk of faith in any area,